The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we treating the Lord today? As Christians living out our faith, all our answers should be the same, since we are being led by one Spirit to all truth. Treating the Lord is what we do when we encounter another. Treating the Lord is what we do when we engage with others. Treating the Lord is what we do when we keep his commandments. How wonderful it is to love the Lord by keeping his word. How wonderful it is that the Father and the Son will dwell in us if we keep his word. He told us this while he was with us, so that on going to the Father, another advocate will come to lead us in truth. Webster's dictionary defines advocate as to speak or write in favor of, defend, recommend, one who pleads the cause of another, an intercessor, defender, counselor. Therefore, he will teach us everything and remind us all of all that he told us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. A while ago, on the Feast of the Lord's Baptism, I gave you a homework assignment. Do you think you had enough time to complete it? Well, regardless, it's time to hand it in. You don't remember what it was, do you? How are we to keep his word if we don't read his word? Let me jog your memory a little. On the day Jesus was baptized, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were present among the people. There was John in the Jordan, baptizing Jesus. The heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Your assignment was to see if there was another time in Scripture where this happens, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present together among the people. If you haven't completed your homework yet, I won't spoil it for you. Like a good teacher, I will temper justice with mercy in treating the Lord inside of you with more time for you to complete your assignment, to delve into the Word so that you can get your house in order. Because on Pentecost, as with the upper room, what could be better than to hear, "Your house is on fire"? And how can we hear that if we don't keep his word? So don't forget to do your homework. No one knows the day nor the hour when our time is up. When I was younger, I heard those words, and they were a fright to hear. Growing up in a family with 11 siblings, everything is multiplied exponentially. Take clothes, for instance. The eldest typically gets new clothes, while the youngest suffers the chest of hand-me-downs. That's a true statement. I'm still wearing my dad's clothes. Nod your head if this is true. The more of your kids that are in school, the more of their friends are in your house. True statement. Bacon and eggs for breakfast in my house when I was growing up, 24 eggs, 4 pounds of bacon, 6 good-sized potatoes, 2 loaves of bread, 5 quarts of orange juice, 1 gallon of milk, and 1 pound of butter. And that's just breakfast. But needless to say, we ate a lot of oats, puffed rice, cream of wheat, powdered milk, and cinnamon toast instead. That's the truth. Just to toast the bread would take a long time, so we would use a newfangled 4-slice toaster. In the beginning, that toaster would brown our bread real nice. After a while, it would toast the bread a darker shade of brown. And later, it would do a lighter shade of black. But after we got some usage out of it, a lot of times it would just forget to pop up. When that started happening, we would have to stand there and watch the toaster toast. It reminds me of John Denver's song, Saturday Night in Toledo, Ohio, where they went to the park to watch the grass die. And for entertainment in the evening, they went to the bakery to watch the buns rise. But it's like watching a pot of water boil. But who has time to watch the toaster toast on a Friday night when the Brady Bunch was on? I know, right? We put the bread in the toaster, pushed it down, and ran into the living room to watch the Brady Bunch. Our excitement over this prime time beaut helped us to forget all about the toaster. Next thing we hear are those immortal words, "Your house is on fire." And in this instance, I'm under the belief that it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read of the tongues of fire resting on those in the upper room. What a sight that must have been to see. It must have been crazy in that upper room when the apostles burst out with the Spirit on them like tongues of fire. Did someone yell to them that their house was on fire? We know that it wasn't the toaster, don't we? In Paul's letter to the Romans, he tells them that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He reminds them that they are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in them. Whoever does not have the Spirit does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. That is why we are here today, to worship in spirit and truth, to receive Christ with our body and our heart. Only in truth does this happen. For no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The truth is not abstract. The truth is absolute. For this Jesus was born. For this he came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. Pilate, in his confusion, asked Jesus, "What is truth?" As Christians, we know the truth to be Jesus Christ, and that is absolute. But truth is a peculiar thing to grasp, isn't it? Sometimes we confuse ourselves in the manner of how we look at things, which could be what was troubling Pilate. Let me give you a statement that I saw on Facebook, and you tell me whether or not it is true. We didn't have a baby food shortage until men started getting pregnant. We didn't have a baby food shortage until men started getting pregnant. True statement? It all depends on how we look at it, doesn't it? It may be a true statement, but the statement isn't true. Let me explain. It is true that there is a baby food shortage. It is also true that at the time of the baby food shortage, they were trying to convince us that men are getting pregnant. So while the baby food shortage is true, men getting pregnant is not. So it is a true statement, but the statement is not true. If, as Christians, we know Jesus to be the truth, and that is absolute, we can logically deduce that truth never changes. Only our ability to understand it does. We don't need to change the truth, We need to live up to the truth. And if we allow the Spirit in us to guide us to truth, how much sooner will the Father and Son dwell in us? Sooner than the tower of a one-world government? Sooner than all language being censored? Sooner than the mutilation of our bodies? Sooner than the sacrifice of our children? Sooner than our own bones in the grave? Paul says to the Thessalonians, those who do not love the truth will be deceived. Come, Holy Spirit, come. After the mass shooting in Colorado a few years back, at a Batman movie premiere, there were youth sitting all over the grounds of the theater, mourning their friends and their family. There was one youth there that was wearing a t-shirt that had the saying, "My Bloody Valentine" on it, with a picture of an imploding human head. A reporter approached him to let him know that that was not appropriate for this situation. And the youth replied that it was the name of a band. "We are so saturated in the little t truth of the world that our ability to understand the capital T truth has waned into the flesh. And as Paul says, in this state, we cannot please God." We need to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And that can only happen when we hearken to his voice and his covenant. Our response to the Spirit inside us must be, everything the Lord has said, we will do. It can't only be said, it must be done. If we practice it, we will do it, because we will do what we practice. If our house is not on fire, then we should resign to praying for the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, the Spirit of truth, who leads us to the truth, in the truth, to all truth. We should do all our homework, that the Spirit may live in us, so that when others encounter us, or when others engage us, they will know how we are treating the Lord. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This Pentecost, going forth, let us ask ourselves, how am I treating the Lord today? Is my house on fire? Come, Holy Spirit, come.